All righty, folks, welcome back. It is a Tuesday edition of JJ After Dark. It's John Jastrzemski, keeping you company right here on The Fan. We have a lot to get to as far as the aftermath of week 6 in the NFL. You got a quarterback developing and getting better with each passing week in Sam Darnold. And then there is the mess that is the New York Giants. We're going to welcome in the longtime NFL quarterback. He does a terrific job each and every Sunday calling games for CBS, Steve Berline. We welcome you to The Fan. How you doing, Steve? How's everything, my man?
I'm doing great. I'm doing absolutely great. And it's awesome to be at this point in the football season where you can really get into some good stories of what's developing over the course of the first part of the year.
Oh, no question about it, Steve. And when you look at one storyline in town that is going to be front and center on Sunday, it is the quarterback that said no to the New York Jets and Kirk Cousins. Ends up in Minnesota, and you understand why. Loaded roster, team that's got a chance to win the Super Bowl. And then the New York Jets end up with Sam Darnold. You know, I went back to February and March, Steve, and no knock on Kirk Cousins. I'm a fan. I think he's a very good quarterback. But from where the Jets currently are sitting, and they're a team that is very much retooling, they're a team that's trying to get younger, I thought they needed to get themselves a young quarterback. I thought they needed to draft a quarterback. And I think it's pretty fair to say it's worked out pretty well for both the Vikings and the Jets. The Vikings getting Cousins, the Jets ending up with Sam Darnold.
Well, we're going to know a lot more, obviously, after this season. The championship is played and Super Bowl and everything, and we'll know. I know for a fact, though, that Kirk Cousins going to Minnesota, and I've been, you know, kind of vocal in my not really criticism of Kirk Cousins, but just saying, you know, I think he's benefited from the system. I think he's a very good quarterback. Whether or not he's worth what the Minnesota Vikings are paying him, the only way you validate that is by winning a Super Bowl with that football team. You know, they've got all the ingredients of being a Super Bowl champion football team. The only thing they're missing is that franchise quarterback, and so I think anything less than a Super Bowl is not a successful season for the Minnesota Vikings with their expectation level and everything else that's involved. So as far as your guy there now, Sam Darnold, I couldn't be more impressed with what he's doing. He's still going to continue being a rookie for the rest of this year. All four of these guys that are playing this year as rookies are going to take their lumps the rest of the season. But Darnold is showing that he's capable of having – some of those big days, and he's going to get better as he goes along. And I'm impressed. I didn't think he was as ready to play as he seems to be at this point. So, yeah, New York may have found their guy. Again, we'll find out over time.
Steve, they've been searching since Joe Namath. So they're hoping and praying that Sam Darnold is going to be that guy for years to come. And you just hit on a very interesting point, the idea of Darnold being ready right out of the chute. And I think there was a lot of questions. Should Sam Darnold learn behind Josh McCown? Should they rush him in to play those first couple of games? The way I looked at it, if he looked the part in training camp, if he looked the part in the preseason, you get him out there. Why waste any time? How important do you think it is in this day and age to get a rookie quarterback on the field as long as they are showing, you know, that they have what it takes to be successful? How important is that?
Well, personally, I think it's better if you've got the luxury of a veteran quarterback who can keep the team competitive and is shown that he's capable of playing at this level. I think the best case scenario is to let a quarterback sit and learn for that first year. I mean, you can look at a lot of examples. Look what happened with Phillip Rivers and Aaron Rodgers, and you can go down the list of some of these guys that are now some of the most consistent performers in the NFL. They had the luxury of being able to sit and learn for a year. But then there's examples the other way as well. The thing that I get worried about with a young quarterback, there's been a lot of these young quarterbacks that were thrown out there early, and because, generally speaking, they're not on a very good football team in most of those situations, I think that it's kind of a 50-50 proposition whether they're going to be mentally tough enough to get through those dog days. Sam Darnold, I think, is one of those guys who's showing that he is. And I think really all four of the guys that are playing right now have that mental toughness to get through it. Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, I believe both of them. You know, Josh Rosen, I'm a little bit concerned about that aspect with him, but as far as him being able to throw the football and play at this level, no question whatsoever. But they're turning out to be exactly what we thought they were, a group of guys that all might have the chance to be pretty darn good.
Steve, out of those four quarterbacks, the rookies who are starting for the most part right out of the gate, who's your favorite of the bunch? And curiously, has that changed after watching them now six games in? Like, has your opinion on any of these four guys changed a great deal from what you were thinking draft day and to what you've seen up until this point?
Well, I think the guy that I liked the most coming out was Josh Allen. I thought that he should have been the first quarterback picked, and I thought that he, more so than the rest of them, would have benefited the most from having a year to develop. I think he needed it more than the rest of the guys. But I think long-term potential, when you've got the size and the speed and the arm strength and all the other physical qualities that Josh Allen has, I felt that he had the best upside, but I really did believe he would benefit the most from sitting. I think as far as surprises go, Sam really has been the biggest surprise to me that, you know, he went out this past week and he's had two or three of his first six games where he's really functioned well and played the game in a really smart, in to some extent experienced fashion, the way he's making his decisions, the way he's protecting the football. Now, he's had obviously examples of the opposite as well, but you always know that that's going to happen with a rookie quarterback at some point. I think he has been the most pleasant surprise to me in how he's been able to get out there and make this team competitive by the way he's playing the quarterback position.
Spend a couple minutes with longtime NFL quarterback and CBS analyst Steve Berline. And on the other side of town, Steve, you have an absolute mess with the New York Giants. And when the Giants decided not to take one of these quarterbacks, the way I looked at their situation is they basically put themselves in win-now mode. And don't get me wrong, Saquon Barkley's a stud. I mean, I saw what he did last Thursday against the Eagles. Goes for 100 on the ground, goes for 100 receiving yards, and yet the Giants still can't score points. They still aren't putting up offensive numbers. The production is not there. How stunned are you with the Giants with all that firepower, still 1-5 on the year, and an absolute mess offensively?
Well, there's a lot of issues, obviously, inside and also publicly with all this Odell Beckham stuff going on now as well. You know, people are being forced to take sides, and it's creating all kinds of distractions and really just creating a lot of negativity. And I think all of us knew that the Giants were trying to build for this year to see if they could put together one last run under Eli. And I think the table was set with the moves that were made, bringing in some of the talent that they brought in to try and give some more weapons to Eli, to this offense. But it's been a very, very disappointing, lackluster effort to this point. And, you know, my colleague Rich Gannon came out in the last couple of days and said that he feels like Eli should consider retiring. And I think all of us understand he's close to having to start thinking that way. But what I'd like to see him do, with all these people questioning him and his teammates wondering if he could put the ball down the field, I'd like to see him take the bull by the horns and you know, he's always been so consistent with his personality, not getting too up with the ups and not getting too down with the downs. But I think this is a time where he's got to show what it means to him. He's got to go out there and fight to show that he deserves to be the starting quarterback. He's got to show a little fire, a little emotion, try and pump some life into this football team, and also take some shots up the field and say, okay, you know what? You want me to start pushing the ball up the field? I'm going to go out there and make a concerted effort to try and make that happen and see if we can get this thing going. I think that's the only way he's got a chance of surviving this year and playing any more football with the New York Giants.
Well, Steve, it's funny you mentioned Rich Gannon's comments because, look, Eli Manning this year has not played good football. And really, for the last 5 years, he's not played good football. But again, a lot of different circumstances, different offensive systems, terrible offensive lines. But you know this better than anybody. Ultimately, when you're a quarterback, you know, it's your offense. And when there isn't production, people are going to want accountability. So, Steve, it asks this question. How much good football does Eli Manning have left? Do you look at Eli Manning as a guy, if everything is right around him, can he still succeed at a high level?
I think physically he still can. I don't agree that he doesn't have the arm anymore to make the throws that he's made in the past. I think he can still do it. I just think that Eli, over the last 4 or 5 years, has been so beat up emotionally and mentally. I just question whether he really believes at this point that he can get it done and play at that level that he's played at before. And that, as you know, is as big and important a quality in a starting quarterback, not only for your own confidence and your own belief, but for your teammates to sit there and look at you and believe it. They know, they can look in your eyes and see if you believe you can get that job done. It's not anything that's spoken. It's not anything that's stated. It's something that you just, when a person steps in the huddle, you know that they have that confidence in themselves that they're going to be able to go out and get it done. And I think Eli has lost that part. And I think because of that, his teammates have lost a lot of confidence in him. So that's why I say he's got to just kind of take the bull by the horns for the whatever time he's got left this year and go out there and just try and convince his teammates that he can still, he still has that confidence in himself and that they should have it in him as well.
Steve, I don't think there's any doubt some of the offensive teammates that Eli Manning plays with have lost confidence in him. I mean, Beckham gave that interview a couple weeks ago. I know Sterling Shepard's trying to tell you otherwise. You see him throwing a little temper tantrum on the sideline a few weeks ago. I think that speaks volumes to how frustrated these guys are. But Beckham in that interview was an absolute joke. I'm sorry. I don't care how ticked off. I don't care how angry you may be. Eli Manning, say what you want about the way he's playing right now. That's a two-time Super Bowl MVP. That's a guy, when it's all said and done, is going to be in the giant ring of honor and has won a great deal here in this town. And when I look at Odell Beckham Jr., he's done none of those things. And look, he's a great talent. Beckham got his big contract. But now, you know, so much for that maturity, so much for Odell Beckham Jr. growing up and turning over a new leaf. And, Steve, I wonder, do you think the Giants have any buyer's remorse in making Odell Beckham Jr. the highest paid receiver in the sport?
Well, I can tell you this. At CBS, we have a pretty respected coach on our Sunday pregame show, and that's Bill Cowher. And he came out. We talked about it a few weeks back, right before the week one of the season. We had our annual kind of orientation seminar for the season. And he emphatically said, there is no way with the track record that Odell Beckham has that you throw that kind of contract at him. He said, you can find receivers to go out and make plays. They're coming out every year. There's more, you know, playmaking wide receivers. You can plug guys in that can make plays. But his attitude and his distractions that he brings along with him that are part of the Odell Beckham package, he said it's not worth the money and everything else to have his special ability out there in the field to put up with all the negatives that go along with it. He said there's no way he would have supported that. So, to me, that says a lot. And Bill Cowher won, you know, several Super Bowl championships. But I personally think that, you know, Odell Beckham looks at himself. He comes out after that interview, which was an absolute – it was a comedy routine, if you ask me, that a lot of people didn't find very funny. But the bottom line is that if he wants to be a leader, he needs to come out and say, you know what? I apologize. I handled that wrong, and I'm going to try to be a better leader from this point forward. He came out and said, "Hey, I'm a leader, and I'm going to speak my mind, and I don't regret any of this stuff." Well, it creates a circus atmosphere, and I think it just contributes and adds to the problems.
Longtime NFL quarterback Steve Berline, check him out each and every Sunday doing games for CBS. So, Steve, watching Patrick Mahomes, and you're a quarterback, and you know a thing or two about slinging it down the field. I mean, are all you guys watching this kid play say, man, I can't believe he can do this. I can't believe he can do that. And it's going to sound crazy because I know they went up to New England and ended up losing in the fourth quarter. But the way they fought back, the way he bounced back after a very subpar first half, I came away even more impressed with what he can do long term. How special do you think Patrick Mahomes can be?
Well, you know, he's another one I think that benefited from sitting last year as a rookie behind Alex Smith and really kind of trying to understand the pro game. You know, he comes out this year and just takes it by storm. And there really isn't not there, there's not enough superlatives you can throw his way when you look at what he's done. And as you said, the times he's kind of hit the adversity, the two times against Jacksonville and against Kansas City, or against New England the other night, he has stepped up and found a way to make it happen and to make the plays needed to win those ball games, which is what all the great ones do. Even on an off day or an off period there, they find a way to make enough plays to give their team a chance to win. And then when they get in that position, they do make the play to win the ball game. And everybody knows the only reason that New England won that ball game the other night was because Tom Brady had the ball last. I think everybody else that was watching that game knew that if Patrick Mahomes had the ball last, that the Kansas City Chiefs probably would have won that ball game. He's making people believe those same things, and the things he can do physically, moving around, extending plays, and making throws on the move, there are very few, if any, guys in the NFL that can do it. So, the Chiefs got their guy, and we're going to be talking about him for a long time.
Steve, before we let you go, it's basically 6 weeks in. I mean, we're about a third of the way through the year. Biggest surprise, biggest disappointment, who comes to mind?
Biggest surprise, biggest disappointment. Man, that's a tough question. I think when you look at surprises, I think that, what Drew Brees and New Orleans Saints are doing down there is pretty impressive. Personally, I think that the Chicago Bears are a great story, even though they lost that game against Miami over the weekend. I think they were a great story. They're starting to show and gain that confidence on both sides of the ball where they are starting to expect to win. And truly, I think also the Kansas City story is a great story with Patrick Mahomes stepping in and being able to do the things that he's been able to do. On the disappointment side, you got to start with the Giants. I think that's the one that really jumps out at everybody. I would have to think about some of the other teams that really have underachieved this year before I get into any more. I think Houston has been kind of disappointing in that AFC South, and so have the Tennessee Titans. And then the Jacksonville Jaguars, coming back to earth the last couple weeks. I think they were really striking fear in everybody the first few weeks of the season. And now to come out and play the way they have the last couple weeks has been very, very disappointing. So, there's still a lot of football to be played, as we all know. But right now, those are the ones that jump out at me.
The longtime NFL quarterback, Notre Dame Fighting Irish, many stops across the NFL, and now you see him on CBS, Steve Berline. Steve, appreciate a couple of minutes. And your Irish right now are humming, my man, and I am hoping and praying that they will be undefeated coming to our town here in Yankee Stadium to take on my alma mater, Syracuse. How about that, Steve? Undefeated Notre Dame, Syracuse on the rise. That'd be a lot of fun.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And I tell you what, that is going to be a very, very exciting electric football game. And I think that if Syracuse comes ready to play, I don't think Notre Dame truly is a top five team, as much as I'm impressed with what they're doing right now. I think they can be beaten by a team that brings their A game. They almost got beat by Pittsburgh last week. That shocked a lot of people. Didn't shock me. I think, Florida State can pose problems, but also Syracuse, they're going to be up for that game. And that could be a program changer for your Orangemen. I think it's going to take a great effort by Notre Dame to hold them off.
Steve, very good work, my friend. Appreciate a couple of minutes. Keep up the good work, all right?
All right. Look forward to next time.
You got it. Steve Berline, the outstanding CBS analyst. Your calls on Darnold, the Giant Mess, 877-337-6666.